الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, the ayat which I have recited before you is a significant ayat in Surah Qaf, which I would like to make the basis of today's khutbah talk. The circumstances behind the revelation of this ayat were several incidents that occurred almost simultaneously. Foremost among them was the incident of Imran ibn Husayn, Imran ibn Uyayna ibn Hassan. And also among the other wealthier and influential people of the Quraysh, they came in the presence of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and observed that there were also other poor people in the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with torn and tattered clothes. So they thought it below their dignity to share the same gathering with those people. And they expressed their displeasure to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, "O Muhammad, if you wish that we must remain in your presence, then remove these poor people when we present ourselves." Upon this, this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded, "Wasbir nafsaka ma'a alladhina yad'una rabbahum." Attach yourself and keep yourself tied to those very same poor people who are maligned by the wealthy people. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ وَجِدْ. And the main quality is this, that they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in and day out. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. And do not let your sight go beyond them towards those تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, who only wish to attain the pomp and splendor of this material world. Now this ayat is quite relevant in the context of our society today, wherein material advancement and attachment to worldly interests has become the end all of all our hopes and aspirations. And this has resulted in material advancement and material prosperity and worldly eminence to be considered the sole criteria for greatness and success. And those who are not as fortunate or those who are not as wealthy, they are looked down upon, however good and noble they might be in the moral and spiritual sphere. Now from the very outset, let me impress, I'm not talking here about the legality, and I'm not talking about the permissibility, and I'm not talking about the benefits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached to wealth. But what I'm talking about, I would like to concentrate on dispelling two notions which have become quite common in our society. The first of which is, the highest of our aspirations today is to attain wealth. That has become the highest of all our aspirations. It has become the most desired and loved thing amongst us. It has become the most desired and loved thing amongst us. All our resources, be it mind and matter, are all directed towards this one thing, to achieve and to attain this coveted item. And this has become a normal pattern. Even the noble qualities, like learning, for example, they are admired, not because of its nobility in itself, but in its capacity to attain more wealth. This is the general trend in our society, something which deep down we will have to accept. Islam, on the other hand, has looked at this very differently. Firstly, Islam has taught that wealth is not the highest of your aspirations. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often used to make dua, Allahumma la taj'ali dunya akbaru hammina, wa la mablagha ilmina, wa la ghayata rabbina. Oh Allah, do not let the material world become the highest of my aspirations. Wa la mablagha ilmina, do not let it become the objective of our knowledge and of our learning. Wa la ghayata rabbina, and do not let it become the finality of all our desires. Firstly, it is not the highest of our aspirations. It should never be the highest of our aspirations. Secondly, Islam has taught that wealth is only amongst one of the possessions of this worldly life. There are things which are much more important as far as nobility is concerned, as far as moral values and norms and virtue is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the greatest thing in this world is to attain the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not the most prized possession. The most prized possession in this worldly life is to attain the satisfaction of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then thirdly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us with regard to this. For many a time, more often than not, wealth entails transgressing the laws of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many a time it entails and it drives one towards injustice and towards immorality. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, هَلْ مِنْ أَحَدِي يَمْشِي عَلَى الْمَاءِ إِلَّا اتَّلَّتْ بِهِ قَدَمَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba, is it possible for a man to walk on water and his feet not get wet? So the Sahaba replied, Ya Rasulullah, this is impossible. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, similarly, people of wealth will not be able to save themselves from sin and immorality. More often than not, they get entangled in sin, and more often than not, they get entangled in injustice. Then fourthly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught, because the real abode and the eternal abode of mankind is the hereafter, that must be given preference over the material world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us repeatedly in the Holy Quran, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْ. Whatever you have with regard to material possessions, it is bound to be destroyed one day. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْ. And whatever is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will remain forever and forever. In another place in the Holy Quran, Allah ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful are those who purify themselves. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. O human beings, you give preference of this worldly life over the year after. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Although the akhirah and the year after is more better and more eternal. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. This warning was founded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in the Holy Quran, in the previous scriptures, صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى, in the scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Thereafter, another important point is, where it matters most, in the year after, in the spiritual sense, in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wealth in itself is worthless. It has no value. I've used the word in itself, because if it is used as a means of coming closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if it is used as a means towards Jannah, then it's a different matter, because it is used as a means, not as an objective. But in itself, it is completely worthless in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, which you might have heard many a times before, that if the value of this material world was more than the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Almighty Allah, Allah would not have given a glass of water to a carpet to drink. Allah ta'ala says in the first chapter of the Holy Quran, لَوْلَا أَيَّكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had it not been for this temptation, had it not been for the temptation that people will deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had it not been because of this temptation, Allah ta'ala said, I would have made wealth freely available to those people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَوْ لَا يَكُنَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا. Had it not been for the temptation that people would start denying Allah, Allah ta'ala says, I would have made wealth freely available. For whom? Not for those whom Allah has favored, but for those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing you must remember, it can never be the highest of our education. Second thing, another misconception which we should get rid of in our society today is that material wealth has become the sole criteria for respect and honor. It is used as a yardstick. It has been used as a yardstick to judge achievement and to judge success. It has become a dominant factor in friendship. And the people who have wealth, they are regarded as eminent. It has become the sole criteria for judging eminence in this worldly life. And those who are less bestowed with wealth, they are looked down upon. And what is even more regrettable, that those people who do not have the same amount of wealth as those who are more wealthy, they themselves regard themselves as failures in life. That is most regrettable. Although from the Quranic teachings, from Islamic teachings, there are two things we must consider and remember. First, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred poverty for himself. Many a times Nabi Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quta. Oh Allah, make the sustenance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family just enough to sustain their needs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred poverty for himself. And then secondly, what you must understand is that to be poor is no disrespect. It is no sign of disgrace in Islam. In fact, the poor and the poverty stricken has been afforded special privileges and has been granted a very high status in Islam. We have many a times heard this hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the poor will enter into Jannah 500 years before the rich. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the hadith, many a time used to make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the means of the poor muhajirin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to make dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua through the means of the poor muhajirin. Oh Allah, through the means of the poor people in the ummah, accept my dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, oh Aisha, love the poor and dunu'i minhum, keep close to them. Because if you keep them close to you, Allah Ta'ala will keep him, you close to him on the day of Qiyamah. One hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِفْتَاحٌ وَمِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ حُبُّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. Each and everything has a key, and a key to Jannah is love and sympathy for poor and needy. So therefore, this also we must remember, the two things I've made mention, it can never be regarded as the sole criteria for judging success and judging eminence. Because Nabi Sallam himself preferred poverty for himself, and poverty and poor, to be poor, is no sign of disgrace in Islam. It is a sign of privilege. It is a sign of being close to Almighty Allah. In fact, I will conclude and say one thing, that in reality, where it matters most to be wealthy and to have wealth in abundance will be a disadvantage on the day of Qiyamah. I will conclude with a beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Awfa radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the morning and he addressed the Sahaba and said, oh my Sahaba, yesterday Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me your positions and your rank. Your position and your rank was revealed to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي لَعَارِفُ رَجُلًا إِسْمُهُ وَإِسْمُ أُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. I know a person. And he, I know his name. I know the name of his father and his mother. لا يأتي باب من أبواب الجنة. He would not come towards any of the gates of Jannah. إلا قال. But the gates of Jannah will call out, مرحبا مرحبا. Be welcome and come towards me. For you to come through my gates is a sign of our good fortune. So that Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu got up and said, هذا is Abu Bakr ibn Quhafa. This relates with Abu Bakr ibn Quhafa. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi made mention of the rank of all the other Sahaba. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi turned toward Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who was the most wealthy of the Sahaba, and said, oh Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, I searched for you and I saw that you were delayed in any access into Jannah. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf asked, Ya Rasulullah, what was the reason for me being granted, for me being delayed, or my entry into Jannah being delayed?
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, because of your excessive wealth. So Abdul Rahman ibn Awf started crying and weeping and said, Ya Rasulullah, yesterday I received 100 camels laden with goods. I give it out for the poor of Medina in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for me on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has written in the commentary of this hadith that many of the Sahaba have been heard to narrate this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, despite being a great Sahabi, he will enter Jannah crawling because of his excessive wealth. Despite being a Sahabi, he will enter Jannah crawling because of his excessive wealth, because he will have to account for his wealth. So wealth, in reality, where it matters most, will be a disadvantage. So my dear respected brothers, I have just recited this ayat before you to make mention of two things. One is that do not make it the end all of all our hopes and aspirations, and do not judge people on the basis of that. This is something which has become common in our society. And if you go back to the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the Quraysh and the wealthy people of Quraysh, that remove the poor people, that we could present ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, remain attached to those poor people. Remain attached to those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in matters of deen, لَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Do not follow those whose heart is devoid of the remembrance of Almighty Allah. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And follow their desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And they transgress the laws of Almighty Allah. Meaning in matters of deen, do not follow those who are devoid of the remembrance of Almighty Allah. Today it has become such a state that the worldly people and wealth have tried to reach such an eminence that they have even regarded themselves as experts even in deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates to this, that do not own the Islam, follow those whose hearts are devoid of the remembrance of Almighty Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you another topic of understanding and make an amal. Wa akhiru da'wana.